Greetings, my friends, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church worship online this morning. I'm very grateful for the technology that allows us to continue to worship together, to be connected in the Spirit this morning. If you are joining us for the very first time, maybe from somewhere far from Nashville, we are especially glad to welcome you. And we hope that you find either on Facebook or through the website all of the links that you'll need for worship. I want to walk through just a couple of suggestions to help enhance our worship time together. We would invite you, if you have access to a candle, to light a candle as we begin our worship together this morning. Hopefully you have a link there to the bulletin that will allow you to participate in the liturgy. And in those moments when we're invited to stand, we invite you to stand in body or in spirit to sing the hymns. There should be a link that allows you to see the music and the words of every hymn. And we invite you to sing with gusto so that your neighbors can hear you this morning. When it comes time to pass the peace, if you share your household with folks, be sure and pass the peace to them. You might want to send a text to a friend or an email and just wish them the peace of Christ would be with them. There's also a link, hopefully, that will allow you to give at the time of the offering, or a number that you can text to give. We invite you to do that. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye is here this morning with her computer, and she's going to be helping if there are any technical difficulties you have or any comments that you want to make. She's there to respond to those. It's a new way of worshiping, but it is worship, and we are here together in the presence of God. Just a few other announcements about life ahead this week. We have shifted to very minimal staff in the building this week, so the pastors will be rotating different days of the week to be here, along with one administrative staff, an office staff, and our custodians. But we are all available by email, so if you want to set up a time for a conversation online, if you need someone to talk to, please reach out to one of us. All small groups, classes, Bible studies are meeting online. We're not having any group gatherings in the building. And we are continuing to have a prayer time together every weekday at noon on Facebook Live. One of us, of your pastors, will lead you in a brief time of prayer through a particular prayer practice. And we invite you to join us if you're able at noon every day on Facebook Live. And I just want to say a word of thanks to those staff members, and then the upcoming week, some of our lay leaders are providing those daily devotionals, a scripture and a prayer, and we will continue to do that as a way of staying connected as a congregation. This Thursday, we plan still to have our noon concert. We have a Lenten concert series every Thursday at noon, and Andrew Reisinger will be playing the organ, and that will be a wonderful way to stop in the middle of your day and be uplifted by sacred music. We have gotten word from our bishop that he is encouraging churches to continue worshiping online at least through April 5th. So we know that we will be live streaming for the next two Sundays following this one, and we'll keep you updated as to what our plans are beyond that, as all of us continue to pray for the healing of our world. Let us now, wherever we are, join our hearts together in this hour of worship.
Still and glory yourself to score. We gather in many places.
Yet we worship as one.
We seek God's presence as one body.
We are the body of Christ.
God is with us now and always.
Nothing can separate us from God's love.
Let us come now before God, who is ever present among us, who loves us, sustains us, and is able to bear all of our burdens. Jesus invites us to turn inward and examine the log in our own eye before we judge the speck in our neighbor's eye. A centuries-old practice called the prayer of examine gives us a way to reflect on our lives, our actions, our words, and our attitudes from the past week, and to lift to God those things that need forgiveness and healing. I invite you now to join with me in this prayer of examine adapted from the Way of the Child. I invite you to close your eyes, be still and silent. Take a deep breath. Know that God is with you and loves you. Reflect back over this past week. As you think back, ask yourself, what made you glad? What was hard? What made you sad or angry? Is there anything that you are sorry about? Tell God anything else you want God to know. Listen for anything God might have to say to you in this moment of silence. And as we exit this time of silence, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
O God, we offer all of our preconceptions about this scripture, all of our safe, familiar interpretations to the flame of your refining fire. Turn them into ashes and let new meaning rise like the sun at the dawn of a new day. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Matthew 7, 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you will give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, you will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is a moment in our worship service that is especially geared to our children. And so if you have children present with you in the household, I'd love for them to come up a little closer. And I'm going to look at this camera right here because I am looking at you, my friends. I really miss you all. It makes a difference when we are together, doesn't it? I was thinking about how on most Sundays when the choir comes in and the pastors walk down the aisle, there are some of you who give us a fist bump or a high five, and I miss those moments. There are some of you who are always making your way to your pastors to give us a hug every Sunday morning, and we miss those hugs. But one of the wonderful things about this world that we live in is that we have cameras, and we have computers, and we have really skilled people who can help us worship together, even when we can't be together in person. So our wonderful technology keeps us connected. But it's more than that. It's really the love of God more than anything else that connects us with each other. So even though I'm looking at this camera that's mounted on the wall up there, I am feeling love for you, and I know that you are feeling love for all of us who are here. So I'm grateful for the love of God, that no matter where we are across the whole world, we are all connected together because God loves us all and calls us to love each other. Let's pray together. Gracious God, even though we are spread out across the city, across the world even, we take this moment to remember your love and how you connect us all and you hold us all. You hold this whole world in your hands. It's a song that we sing. We thank you for your love. We look forward to the day when we can be together in person. But until then, remind us every day of how much we are connected by you. In your loving, holy name we pray. Amen. Every year, Oxford Dictionaries designates a word of the year. I think in 2016, the word was post-truth. In 2013, the word was selfie. Last year, the word was climate emergency. They usually pick a word that captures the ethos of the year that we've experienced together in our world. And I would be willing to bet you money. Well, I can't bet money because I'm a United Methodist and we don't believe in gambling. But I'll be willing to wager you a roll of toilet paper that the word for 2020 will be social distancing. This is a term that over the past 2 weeks we have heard over and over again. As our leaders, as health officials, urge all of us to maintain a physical distance between ourselves, urging us to stay home and to work from home as we're able, to, when we're out in public, if we're in the grocery store, make sure we're at least 6 feet away from the person nearest to us. As someone has said, what we're really being asked to do is physical distancing. Because thanks to technology, we're able to connect socially and even spiritually in moments like this one. So we're really not socially distanced from each other, I hope, but we are physically distanced from each other. I was thinking about this as I sat down to read this next portion from the Sermon on the Mount that we've been walking through for the past few weeks. If you're joining us for the first time in worship, our congregation has been reading through the Sermon on the Mount together since the beginning of February. We find ourselves this morning at the beginning of chapter 7, where Jesus is talking about a very ancient form of social distancing. One of the ways that we as human beings, even though we might be right next to each other, even though we might be in the same household, even though we might be worshiping side by side in the same congregation, we manage to distance ourselves from each other. And it's called judgment. The way that we judge other people. Jesus is talking here about that habit of being critical, that critical spirit that can take hold of us, that causes us to look at other people and see first their faults, their mistakes, how they fail to measure up to our standards, or how they fail to measure up to God's standards. It's a way of distancing ourselves from other people. It's a way of saying, this person is somehow less than I am, less worthy of the respect of society, less worthy even of God's love. We judge other people. We judge how they wear their hair. We judge how they dress. We judge how they drive. We judge how they shop. We judge how they vote. We judge their theology. We judge how they worship. We judge. And the more we do that, the more we separate ourselves from them and fail to remember that we're connected to one another. I don't know about you, but as I've read this passage and as I've tried to notice my own interior life, I notice how often that critical spirit takes over and I judge people again and again and again. And Jesus knew that about us. He knew that about human nature. And so he says at this point in the Sermon on the Mount, do not judge. He has spent a lot of time in this sermon talking about the state of our hearts, our interior life. Don't be angry. Do not lust. When you pray, pray in the privacy of your room and not to be seen by others. And here he says, do not have within you that critical spirit that judges and separates you from others. He gives this wonderful, almost humorous image. Why do you judge the speck in your neighbor's eye and fail to notice the log in your own eye? It's that old hypocritical way that we have of having a different standard for ourselves than others. I get so angry when I see someone who's sitting at a green light because they're texting and they haven't noticed that the light's turned green. But the very next red light, I check my phone real quick because I'm different. It's a different standard for me. That's a frivolous example, but I do it all the time. I'm so critical of the speck in my neighbor's eye, and I don't even see the log in my own eye. So Jesus invites us to start first within, to take that journey inward, to examine ourselves first, which is why we wanted to offer this morning this practice of the prayer of examine, this ancient prayer given to us by St. Ignatius, where at the end of each day we reflect back on ourselves and see how we have experienced God and how we have failed God, to look at what we need to be forgiven for from the day that has preceded us. We start with ourselves first. And when we do that, I believe Jesus is encouraging us to realize that when we examine ourselves first, we will remember the great love and kindness and compassion and mercy of God that we have received. We will remember that no matter what ways we fail, no matter how we sin, no matter what our brokenness is, we are beloved by God and made whole by God. And if we remember that great mercy and compassion that we have received, it will shape how we feel toward other people. That compassion will take root and grow in us and flow through us toward others. Do not judge, Jesus says. Now, there are two caveats that I want to lift up as we consider this commandment from Jesus not to judge. The first one comes from this odd saying that comes right after these teachings on judgment. Jesus says, do not judge others. And then there's this verse that says, do not give what is holy to dogs or throw pearls before swine. Jesus seems to be saying that you can judge some people to be dogs and swine. What does this mean? What is this teaching about? Especially right next to the one about do not judge. Well, there's a lot there and a lot that we could dig into. And I could preach for 45 minutes. What else do we have to do today? But I won't do that to you. In brief, I think Jesus is suggesting that there is discernment that we need to practice. And there's a difference between judgment and discernment. It is important to be able to discern whether a person is trustworthy or not, whether a person can hold our vulnerability and honor it. When we judge someone, we condemn them, we consider them less than us. When we're discerning, we can still see someone as a beloved child of God, but know that our interactions with them may need to have certain boundaries to protect ourselves or to protect others. So I do think there is a call and a reason for us to be wise and discerning in our relationships with others. It's different from judgment. The other caveat I have is for those of you who really hear that critical voice in your head, and it's most often directed at yourself. For those who live with this sense of judgment of yourself, that you are not good enough, that you are not worthy, that there's something about you that is inherently flawed and broken, and that God could not love you and accept you the way you are. Honestly, I think sometimes the most critical people hear that critical voice most loudly aimed at themselves. And so hear this word for you today from Jesus. Do not judge even yourself. Do not condemn yourself. Do not consider yourself less than or less worthy or unworthy of God's love and mercy and grace. Especially in this moment, my friends, it's very easy to judge ourselves. We judge ourselves for being afraid. We judge ourselves for the way we're reacting to this crisis. Do not judge. Remember the God of mercy and compassion holds you and holds all of us. And there is no room for judgment in that love. Which brings us to the end of this text, where Jesus does something that he has done over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount. See if you can hear it. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." When he's teaching about the Lord's Prayer, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly parent will also forgive you. By the same measure you judge others, you yourself will be judged. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." Jesus reminds us again and again in these teachings that we are all in this together. That how we understand God's love for us shapes how we treat others. How we treat others has an effect on how we understand God's love and God's nature. We're all in this together. And we are living in a time, my friends, when our world is in great need of compassion. So the invitation for all of us is to look inward this morning and to remember and reclaim that great compassion and mercy and love that has poured out from God's heart to our hearts. That we are beloved just as we are and accepted, and there's nothing we can ever do to separate God's love from us. And we are invited to remember that that love pours out to all people, no matter how badly we behave. May that compassion, may that mercy, may that loving kindness of God shape how we look upon those around us. There's a wonderful quote, and it's not quite clear who said it. Some say Aristotle, some say other people. But I take it with me and remember it, and I invite you to take it with you this day. Be kind. Be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. May we be grounded this day in the great love of God that goes before us and brings us the victory. Amen.
I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and turn to our affirmation of faith. It can be found on number 883 in a United Methodist hymnal, or it should be on a link on our website. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up your prayer concerns via Facebook Live or through our website. There's a link on our website. If you have confidential prayer requests, I suggest that you submit them through the website. This morning, we want to remember Daniel, Julie, and Corinne Parker, who are mourning the death of Daniel's mother, Mary Parker, who passed away on March 13th. Services were held on March 18th in Murfreesboro. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving God, though we are physically distant from one another, we know that we are never far away from you. We give you thanks for your presence with us. And we give you thanks for the ways in which you call us together in love, even if we are not able to be physically close. Oh God, our world is hurting right now, and we need your grace. We pray for all who are grieving, for all who are sick, for all who are at risk of illness. We pray for doctors, nurses, hospital, and lab staff who are working tirelessly to care for those who are most vulnerable. We lift up maintenance crews and housekeeping staff who are seeking to ensure that our public and workspaces are functional and clean and sanitized. We pray for those whose work is in jeopardy and for those whose work has suddenly gone away. We lift up children for whom school was a place of safety and nourishment and who are now at risk for abuse and malnutrition. For parents who no longer have safe and dependable places to leave their children, and for parents who are trying to work from home while caring for and teaching their children. We pray for those who are homeless and for all who are dependent upon services that are no longer in operation. And we lift up our local, state, and national leaders and leaders throughout the world. For all of these, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. O God, we know that when we hurt, you hurt with us. So give us grace for the days ahead. Soften our hearts toward one another. Give us compassion, that we might see Christ in one another, and that we might treat one another as your beloved children. We ask all of these things in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is now time for our offering, and we invite you to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You can give through our website, or you may text to give. Hopefully, instructions are showing up on the screen for you. You may also mail a check to our church. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory, and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you.
pray that this time of worship has reminded all of us of our belovedness, of the great love and compassion God has for us and for all of creation, grounded in that love and that compassion for ourselves and for others. Let us live into this week in love and trust, and may the peace of Christ grow within us with each day. Amen.